call this meeting of the Legislature's Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee to order. We have an agenda that shouldn't keep us, I don't believe, for a long period of time, but we have some important items to take up and a few decisions to make as far as direction we're going to take with respect to some topics over the remaining part of August and into the September, the early fall. So with that, if we could proceed to the minutes of June 28th and August 6th.
For approval? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, where you have...
we have to move the things, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we have a motion by Mr. Alvarado.
Which minutes is he moving?
We're moving the both sets of minutes. And the copies that are in your folders are for Monday, June 28th, and then more recently, August 26th, at a meeting chaired by our committee vice chairman, Legislator Alvarado. So we could take just a minute to...
All I see are the minutes of June 28th. What, did you say there were other minutes?
Yeah.
August 6th.
August 6th. I'm sorry.
Here's a copy.
No, I have it. I'm sorry. I was present for both meetings, so I can second both.
Okay. The meeting on the 6th pretty much dealt with the, as you can see, dealt with the J.P. Morgan lease out at the airport. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Well, then he's second.
We have a motion, a second, and... if there are any comments or modifications anyone makes like to make, otherwise, all in favor of approving the minutes as they're presented at the meeting, say aye. Opposed? And those two sets of meeting minutes are approved. To return to the agenda, we have six referral items that we will, seven actually, to that we will address in order, and let me move to the first one. It's a bond act dealing with the White Plains Government Complex infrastructure repairs. And Rob, why don't we just start right off with the first, and I'll explain where we are with the second item when we get to it.
Good afternoon. Yes, the bond act before you is composed of two projects. One is the replacement of duplex sump pumps in the MLB parking garage, and the second one is ventilation upgrades to the troposcopic exam rooms at 134 4th Street.
Give me a little bit of detail as to what we're given the background on the piece that involves the parking lot.
Yes, there's six sets of duplex sump pumps that were installed in 1997. Due to the heavy usage and the frequent breakdown, they're required to be replaced now. They're there to prevent flooding in the lower levels of the parking garage, the B3 level. We're going to basically take them apart, clean the pits, the wells that are down there, furnish and install new sump pumps with wiring, associated equipment, piping, flanges, control panels, etc.
So it's really it's dismantling them and
putting in new pumps.
Rehabbing. Yes. Oh, okay. All right. And the other piece, if give us a thumbnail on that as well.
There's it's to provide exhaust fans or to create negative pressure exam rooms where the health department there treats possible tuberculosis patients. And that work is required to comply with the Federal Centers for Disease Control, the guidelines. There has to be a negative pressure room so that that doesn't prevents any possible spreading of the disease.
Huh. If I may, Mr. Chairman, the Committee on Budget and Appropriations did review this item along with the Committee on Capital Projects, and both units have moved the item forward. And if you allow me, I would be happy to move this item forward, Mr. Chairman, based on the testimony.
All right. Okay. We have a motion, and Mr. Burrows, and a second. Second. Okay. How often is it necessary to address the system in the health department?
Oh, the health department. Yeah. Right now, it doesn't have that system, and that's why
it doesn't have the system.
So we have to put it in to comply with.
Okay, so it's an installation. Okay.
Yes.
Same question for the garage.
The garage, the pumps are average life is about 15 years.
So you put it in 97, you said?
97, yes.
Okay.
And where did the heavy usage come from?
The lower levels tend to flood. So
it was utilized more than an average pump.
Would. Yeah. And they're three horsepower pumps. They're huge pumps. So the frequency of operation tends to weigh up.
What's the source of the water?
Rain?
Rain and I believe also groundwater.
Yeah, there's a groundwater problem, huh?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion on this bond act? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. That's approved. Now, the second item, although it's listed on the agenda today, I advanced this morning at our Public Works meeting, and we took it up at the time and reported that to the full board.
Yes, we did.
The next group of items, item 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, these are various sewer district modifications, all coming in communications from Legislator Nona, or by way of Legislator Nona. Item 3 is a removal, and as you can see, 4 a removal, 5 is a removal, 6 also is a removal, 7, okay. So anyway, as you recall, we just vote at this point to move them on to the county executive's office to begin the processing of the work that each of these will involve.
So, Mr. Chairman, on the main item.
Motion by Mr. Alvarado, a second by Legislator Williams. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, these items are then reported to the county executive's office. We have a couple of items that I just want to discuss with you quickly, and let me kind of take them maybe in reverse order.
Item 7 was also, I was wondering.
That's right.
What's also included in that motion?
That's correct.
Okay.
We have received some information from the Transportation Department on the express bus into Manhattan. And at this point, Pat, why don't you join us at the...
Sure.
Pat, you still do transportation, huh?
Yes, I am.
All right. We made a very, very late request for some additional information, which, you actually have it. I tell you,
yes.
If you didn't have it, it was understood. because it came from me very, very late last week. And why don't we take a look at that, we can explain what
are the issues now with the bus?
Well,
whether we can still sustain it over the next...
We're seeing basically what it looks like right now, how it changed after the... that operative date in June was, what, the 26th?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I know we had a public hearing on it, right?
Yes,
two of
did.
Them.
We had a public hearing on the service reduction, and then we had a public hearing most recently on the proposal to increase the fare.
And how was it attended?
The fare increase?
There both
was
almost, of them.
The service cuts were very, very well attended. There were over 300 people at each session. The fare increase hearing, there were maybe 10 individuals who came and spoke. Some of whom said, this is good, we're glad that the service has been modified and maintained, and we are willing to pay the extra price.
Okay. Which is consistent with what the people were saying. As long as we didn't cut the service, they didn't mind paying a couple of more dollars. What was it? How much
right.
more? $2 more?
Yes, it was $2 more. And $2 more over a series of years. It used to be...
It went back to what it was a couple of years ago.
Yes, exactly.
Can Bill ask the last item? Okay. With this chart in front of us, let me just recap something. The department was good enough to provide the committee with a chart, which I think most of us have seen, but it basically was a recap of the month of June 2010, the daily ridership, and then a average weekday ridership for the month of June 2010. We then were presented with, after the service change, the daily ridership in the end of June into July. And let me just cite what these numbers were. The daily ridership in June was 1,514. That was the average per day. The average weekday... Oh, okay. I don't think you have that with
you. Okay.
Should be the last item in your folder.
Oh, okay.
The average weekday ridership you'll see is 1,065, or roughly a third less. And so with these 2 months kind of abstracted out of a whole history, there was very little on here to get some indication as to how the numbers were trending throughout the first 6 months of the year, because we had June, and then the reduction by about a third in June into July, through the end of July. Questions that were obvious were, to what extent did the service cuts cut down on ridership? It is a vacation month for people. How might that have cut down on ridership? So what we asked the department to do, and I really appreciate it, Pat, was we asked for the June 2009 figures, the July 2009 figures, and then just to get a snapshot of the year, we asked for September 09, December 09, March 2010, and we had already been provided with June 2010, which would kind of give us a little bit of a clearer picture as to how the average weekday ridership
fluctuates,
how it was trending. And we figured that just for starters, this would help us understand what's going on right now. And then, of course, there were some other concerns, like the financial piece of this. Were the changes, together with the fare increase, was that going to put the department in a position to say that at least that component of our system, the express bus component, is now operating in the black, or has it substantially closed the gap? And then there was a question about, well, what is the impact of the fare increase on county finances? And I think, whatever that aggregates in the additional fares, in my view, I think it means that we're not going to the taxpayers through the levy to support the system. And what is the impact on riders? Well, that's kind of obvious. If they're paying a higher fare, well, it's more of their disposable income that they're laying out over a year for bus transportation. However, I know I heard, and a number of other legislators heard, that many people taking the express bus were willing to pay a little more to ensure that they could get to their jobs in the city in a way that was clean and efficient and quick. So anyway, let me at this point, Pat, maybe you can tell us what we're looking at here with the chart that's in front of us that you presented today.
Before that, Mr. Chairman, since I have to go, I just have a numbers question to the budget chairman. This transfer of 1.5, did it materialize? May it materialize at some point on behalf of this line? We had allocated, when we were confronted with the reduction and elimination of this line, we made adjustments to the budget, to the current budget, and with a transfer of 1.5 million. If you're not the person to answer that, Pat, get me an answer.
Sure.
To the Chairman of Budget and Appropriations and to this committee, because we noticed that the tax levy number is dramatically reduced to almost a quarter from a year ago. So that's good news. But get me an answer, because we wanted, we directed the administration to invest this so that, that the line would be in the economical situation that it was.
So 1.5 million dollar transfer that was to take place
during the
discussion of the 2010 budget.
Yes, some explanation to it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good, Mr. Palma.
Okay. I'm glad you summarized all of the questions, because the chart was developed to show exactly all of that information. As you can see, the total passenger figures we just put them together for every month beginning in June 2009. You can see there was a blip for July, August, and September of 2009 last year. Mm-hmm. Honestly, we don't know why. but those are the numbers that came out of the all of our ridership reports. You end up following the total passengers. Right now, we're estimating the ridership for July of this year was 22,269.
What was the problem with the gasoline prices going through the roof? Was that last year?
That was last year. Okay.
That's probably good.
Okay, all right.
traditionally, we do see, as you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, that the vacation schedules in the summer, and also the fact that schools are not in session, and we know we have students who ride the 4C down to schools in the city.
Mm-hmm.
They end up being that they're closed. We are expecting that there will be some increase in ridership come September, but with the fare going up, we're calculating now that will be a wash in terms of the number of passengers. So you see at the very bottom of that column, from August through December, we're just keeping the passenger number static.
I see. Okay.
Okay. That was one of the assumptions that went into all of our calculations.
Okay.
The revenue that comes into the system both through cash at the fare box, and we also get reconciliation with the MTA with respect to the MetroCard. Those are the following two columns.
Mm-hmm.
To give you the gross fare revenue, then the average fare. And it's average because we do provide senior and disabled rider discounts, so we have an average fare there. And also the express bus plus Metro cards, also serves to calculate the fare such that people are not paying, not everybody paying the full fare.
Okay.
The miles are the miles that we were running, that we were operating during that time frame, the hours of service that we were running during those each of those months, and then next is the variable operating expense. And we calculate this as the term variable is excluding any overhead, because whether or not we were to operate this route, we would still have a garage, we would still have staff members.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what makes it makes up the variable column. And then the final one has to do with the tax levy, what the calculation is for the tax levy used to support the BXM 46. As you go down through the rows, you will see the budget figure that had been submitted for tax levy was $2.1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did make some changes to the service in February, where we stopped going down to Wall Street. There had been several trips that went down to Wall Street, and the ridership was so low, we terminated that. And that brought it down the budget to $1.8 million. With the June 28th service changes now, where the operating cost is looking more at $1.3 million.
Okay. And so... So 2010 is a year of modification. So this model suggests then, if we go into 2011 and most things remain fairly equal,
mm-hmm.
This is suggesting that at least this piece of our public transit, bus transit system, is paying for itself.
Right. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. We will be watching the ridership in the fall very, very carefully.
Right.
Liberty Lines, who's our operator who is running this route, is actually out there every day. They've got a bus at Fort Hill Road and Central Avenue,
mm-hmm.
in case there are too many people. One of the concerns is that it's perfectly fine to have standees on the vehicles,
yeah.
But we don't want them to be overcrowded either. So we are watching it. And as I mentioned, any potential increase as people come back from vacation and school starts up versus the resistance that we always find when we implement a fare increase, right now we're assuming will be a wash. We are looking to start 2011 as with $0 to support this, all from the revenue.
All from revenue. Okay. All right.
No questions.
Gordon, Alfred, any? All right.
That's good news.
Very good, Pat. What we're going to do is, I think that there were a list of questions that some of the legislators had, mm-hmm. over time. I think what we did was... went through and consolidated a lot of them. We came up with three or four major concerns. I believe that this chart and your explanation has addressed, all of those concerns. And, obviously, the board working together with you, I mean, as customers make comments or recommendations, I mean, we can address those as they're made.
Yes.
All right. Okay. And once again, this is based on the $7.50
fair
increase,
right.
Coming. And what date is that?
September 7th.
Okay. September 7th. And the other change was June 26th.
June
28th. Okay.
But you take cash boxes? I didn't realize people were allowed to pay in cash. I thought that was...
Yes, they can pay in cash, but cash is not dollar bills. It's quarters.
Oh.
So it's a lot of quarters that...
It's a lot of quarters.
Yes. Yes.
So if you see anybody walking like that...
They're boarding our bus. That's right.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the information and how quickly... you responded to my request on Friday. I really do.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Do you mind if I hear your discussion on the next DOT?
Oh, okay. Well, fine. Let me, let's see.
To find out if I'm still going to be doing it.
Yes, yeah. Let's see. Susan, did we,
maybe you were the referrals.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that that'll be a long discussion, and I promise you a very detailed and thorough one. All right. Let me just mention one thing quickly, and then we can spend just a few more minutes on the other. A few months ago, I brought up to the committee the fact that I would like to, at some point, do what traditionally the board has done, and that is bring in our organized labor into the committee to give them an opportunity to talk to us about really anything from A to Z. Typically what happens is they talk to us about some of the changes that are going on in the different departments and cost centers, working conditions. Without fail, you always get some discussion about contract negotiation. Sure. So, what I would like to do, we did decide to not to really get involved with that over the summer, but I would like to put it back on the front burner, and maybe after the 1st of September, we start to get people. Representatives from our uniform services as well as CSEA in here to talk to us about what's going on generally with the workforce and what's going on in corrections and county police and the like. So if that timeline is acceptable, that's what I would like to do appropriately enough in and around Labor Day, start to kick that off at that point. The other area which I see as a major major piece of the board's work, we've been discussing it on and off throughout the year, but now, you know, we probably are, easily at the two-thirds mark with respect to the playland operating season. There's been mentioned on this floor by legislators. The county executive has commented on it. There are people out in the community. I think maybe even Rye recently put together a committee that hopes to have some input on the future of Playland. And, of course, the to me, the main ball game is what this legislature does with respect to Playland, working through this particular committee. And we've been in the process over the last probably 6 weeks or so compiling some information that I think will be useful to us when we begin that review. Just let me say generally this. The legislators, all 17, know that Playland as a park site traditionally has been a very active site with rides and amusements and concessions that sell, merchandise, hats and stuffed toys and also food concessions. There's a marina, there's a restaurant, there is legislation that authorizes a children's museum. So there are a whole lot of different things that are done now. And there's the future potential use of some of the Playland site for other things as well, the swimming pool, parking, and the like. One of the questions I know that has been stated generally within the past few weeks is, going forward, what should be the use of the site? And how should that site be managed, depending on whatever the final uses or varied uses are. And obviously, at the center of all of that will be the work of this committee and a recommendation from this committee. And we won't be doing it in a vacuum, because I imagine there'll be a number of people in government and outside of government weighing in on it. But I think that we're at a point now where the compiling of the information will continue, but we may want to start to look at how the season is unfolding, how it's likely to wrap up, take a real close look at how we're structured there, what it allows us to do, and what changes we may want to look at that would make for a park that still is enjoyed by so many people here in Westchester County, but also makes sense financially to taxpayers as well. I don't know what the ultimate balance is when we look at uses. I mean, we can go from to an extreme where it's just a passive site with a lot of things sitting there as museum pieces, to something that maybe continues to be a very active site with rides and games that we have either more of a role in operating or less of a role in operating. But certainly we have a lot of things that the committee can look at. So, at this point, if you have any comments, anything that you'd like to say that will help us, maybe do we even a more fine-tuned job at laying out a course of action for the committee? We can discuss it today. We can discuss it at any point that you want to provide that input. But that's the plan that I have for what I see is a very, very big topic for this committee to be delving into over the next couple of months. And fortunately, it comes at a time when a lot of that information will be, some of it will be in final form. So, all right. So if we think that that's a good good departure point, I don't have any further business to bring before the committee at this point. We have obviously a list of items for are always there to receive and file. If there's anything special that you're aware of in coming to the meeting today, fine. Otherwise, we don't have to spend time on any of those unless you're prepared to move that some of them be put away for no further consideration by the committee.
When do you want to have discussions with the unions, and when would you anticipate doing the conversations with Playland?
I think that we'll probably use the balance of August to put together a fairly good database on different statistics that we would be interested in, and then at that point start to decide for ourselves which way our committee conversation should run. And I know one of the big topics that we discussed earlier in the year was the role for concessionaires at Playland, given the list of advantages to them being involved and disadvantages, advantages for the county to run everything and disadvantages for the county to do that. Knowing that that's a big conversation in itself, I think that probably we'll be in good shape to start to launch that maybe around the beginning of the month. And I think any time probably after Labor Day with everybody back in town, we can start to get the unions to tell us that they can put, small panels representing their organization into this room to talk to us in fairly good detail as to their agenda and what's on their mind.
Okay.
What do you think, Alfreda? All right. Okay. So that's the way we'll proceed, and obviously we'll have quite a few items that we'll be taking up. along the lines of legislative bond issues and the like that I expect will continue to come. And so we'll devote some time at the other meetings to any additions we want to make to the planning that we'll start to planning map that we'll start to follow after the first of the month.
You looking for a motion to adjourn?
All right. So without any, as I mentioned, no further business on my end, we have a motion from Mr. Burroughs.
Second.
A second from Legislator Williams. All in favor, this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Now I'm raced back to my office to meet another.
There you go.
And then.